Houston, we have a problem.
This is Bryce Massengill. This is H-Town. And this is the Liberty Root Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast on this 31st day of January 2018. Don't you all just love the determination and the brilliance and the zeal and the drive and determination of the liberal Democrats that we have in Congress? Don't you just love it? Aren't you just uplifted and moved by every decision and by every remark that any of them make? I mean, isn't it just a life-changing experience? I mean, every time they step to the podium to give a speech or to push a new bill, I mean, aren't you just thrilled to see what's inside? Aren't you just thrilled to see how it's going to help you and your family? And isn't it refreshing to wake up every single day just knowing that there is somebody out there in D.C. who is representing the little guy, who's representing the 99%. Isn't it a good feeling? And isn't it a good feeling to know that every decision and every agenda that they put forth is there to represent us? Right? I mean, that's great. That's wonderful. I know, you're sitting there and you're seeing right through the crap that I'm saying. They're not there to represent the 99%. They're not looking out for you and your family's best interest. And if you think so, then you have party confusion. Because that's what the Republicans and conservatives are doing. You have party confusion. Definition of party confusion? Quite simple. You're aligning with the party of crap and not the party of common sense. You see, the Democrats want you to believe that the 1% is evil, when in all actuality, a lot of those people in Congress are in the 1%, so what does that say about them? But they want you to believe that the 1% is terrible, that they're there just to line their pockets. They're there to just push profit and make the top dogs as rich as they possibly can. And I'm not saying every organization does the right thing, and I'm not saying that every CEO of every company is doing what he or she should to benefit employees and keep longevity of employees. I'm not saying that. But the overwhelming majority, probably 99% of the 1%, the overwhelming majority isn't doing that. Because the 1% is smart. After all, that's how they got to where they're at, right? They built something. They define the definition of hard work and determination. And these CEOs of these companies, they know that retainment is everything. They know this. They know how expensive training is for new recruits, and they want to keep people as long as they can. So they're going to try to accommodate the best that they can without putting the country or their company into the ground. They're smart. They're smarter than me because I'm not making that money and I'm not crying about it. Because if I wanted to, I could. If I had an idea and I knew and I had the capabilities of expanding on that idea to build something for myself, I could do that. The American dream just isn't a catchy slogan. Each and every one of us has an opportunity to see that dream come to fruition. It just all depends on the individual. How much work are you willing to put in to achieve your goals or what you want to do in your life? And if that's being a factory worker and you're happy with that, that's awesome. That's perfect. If that's fast food, perfect. If that's being an airline pilot, perfect. A medical doctor? Awesome. A CEO of a Fortune 500 company? Great. The sky is the limit, but the individual themselves need to make the decision of how high they want to fly in life. And that's exactly what these CEOs did.
Yeah, but some of them inherited it.
Are you still employed by that organization? They've done a great job of maintaining it, haven't they? So they must be doing something right. And the liberals want to come in and punish that success. I mean, what kind of message is that sending? Settle for average? Never set the bar high and strive to reach for it? Is that the message that they're sending us? Because I think that that's exactly what the message that they're sending us is. I mean, I don't normally like to bring sports into my podcast, but I'm a huge New England Patriots fan. And I know all the claims of cheating, all the claims of whatever, that people have this hatred towards the New England Patriots. But do you honestly think that Tom Brady made it to where he's at just because of cheating? Do you think that, really? I mean, honestly. Just look at his work regimen. Look at his diet. I mean, his life is revolved around his job. His every minute of every day is revolved around his job. He has determination, he has grit, and he works for something. Because he knows with hard work and determination and a goal in mind. And you're saying we should look down upon that? I mean, what do you tell your children to strive to be? Great, don't you? Work hard in life. Have it better than I had it. I mean, I hope you're not telling your children, hey, stay average. Stay middle class. And just hope for a raise in minimum wage. Is that what you're saying? Well, if you go along with what these Democrats are saying, that's exactly what you're saying. Because they're wanting to punish success and give it to people who don't necessarily have that determination and grit. And if you work at a factory and you love what you do, be the best at what you do. Because if you can be the best at what you do and you remain determined and you have a work ethic like no other, stuff like that rubs off on other people. And if stuff like that rubs off on other people and you have a successful work group in any type of field, of career field, that means more product, more quality product, higher profits and revenue, which means higher streams of income for you and your family. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's probably the most simplistic that economics can possibly get. Work hard, do good, get rewarded. That's it. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is doing. You know I am no fan of Donald Trump. But I'm telling you, this is probably one of the greatest moves by a president as far as taxes go. He realizes, I mean, he was a business owner. He realizes that the 1%, the main wealth earners in this country, are the ones who supply the jobs to everybody else. He sees that. And he knows that. So he's rewarding those people with these tax cuts. Because he knows that if you cut taxes for employers, they can do more. They can grow their company, they can reward their employees, and ultimately grow the American economy. But the liberals just tell you it's a bad idea and it's just a ploy to let the rich get richer and let the middle class suffer. Here's where our buddy Chuck Schumer had to say about it while it was in the process of being voted on.
The more Americans find to dislike. A new poll this morning from CNN found a majority of Americans against the bill. Why? The bill provides crumbs and tax hikes for middle-class families in this country and a Christmas gift to major corporations and billionaire investors. So let me be clear. This tax bill will be an anchor around the ankles of every Republican. If they haven't learned it yet, they're going to learn it next November. Republicans will rue the day they pass this bill, and the American people will never let them forget it. What has been sold as a job creator and wage booster will, of course, do little of either, as companies are already initiating stock buybacks worth hundreds of millions of dollars instead of hiring more workers and raising wages. Ultimately, the Republicans have taken what they call a once-in-a-generation opportunity on tax reform and squandered it on corporate welfare and tax cuts for the rich. According to the Tax Policy Center, the top 1% of earners in our country get 83% of the benefits. The top 1% get 83% of the benefits. What about the other 99% of us? The raw numbers are staggering. It's an indictment of the Republican tax plan. It's an indictment of where the Republican Party is headed, into the arms of their billionaire paymasters. The numbers reveal what this bill truly is, a tax scam that will rob middle-class families to pay for corporate tax breaks. Senator Wyden.
Thank you, Leader Schumer.
Thank you, Mr. Schumer.
Who was that? I mean, what an idiot.
Your diction was perfect and the message you relayed was on point, man.
People aren't gonna like this, Chuck. I'm sure you're right. I'm sure they're not gonna like this. Not at all. Because 83% of that money is gonna go directly to the CEOs of these companies? Is that where it's gonna go, Chuck? Now, fast forward to today. A little over a month later. Where exactly is America at now?
Call it a tax cut bonus. AT&T saying it is giving more than 200,000 employees a $1,000 special bonus after the tax bill is signed into law. Boeing is also promising to invest $300 million in its workforce and community charities. Again, thanks to those tax cuts.
Trickle-down tax reform. Walmart, the country's largest private employer, just announced major changes, saying that it will raise its U.S. minimum wage to $11 an hour. It will pay a one-time bonus of up to $1,000 to hourly workers, and it will expand maternity and parental leave benefits.
Major companies announced one-time bonuses for its employees after President Trump's tax plan was passed by the House and the Senate. AT&T, Comcast, Boeing, Wells Fargo, and Fifth Third Bank here. Just some of the corporations deciding to give this one-time bonus.
Many companies give back or are giving back as a result of the tax bill. And FedEx says the bill will deliver nearly $1.5 billion worth of higher earnings, better profits.
Starbucks passing the buck to its workers, but in a good way. The coffee chain becoming the latest company to say it's giving employees a pay raise because of the new tax cuts. Starbucks is also planning to give bonuses and hire 8,000 new workers.
Man, how evil are those CEOs keeping all that money and doing nothing for their employees? I mean, isn't capitalism amazing? Isn't capitalism a godsend? Isn't capitalism just the best thing in the world? And you would think Schumer would come out and Pelosi would come out and praise this president for helping the middle class. Well, here's what Nancy Pelosi had to say about the matter.
In terms of the bonus that corporate America received versus the crumbs that they are giving to workers to kind of put the schmooze on, is so pathetic. It's so pathetic.
Pathetic, Nancy? Crumbs, Nancy? Ask any middle class employee how a $1,000 bonus would sound. Would they think that was pathetic or just crumbs? Ask any middle-class employee how a few dollars an hour raise sounds. Is that pathetic? Is that just crumbs? I mean, what, do you think one employee should get all of it? These companies have thousands of employees, and they're giving away thousands of dollars per employee, but that's still not good enough. How does this sound, Nancy? Let's just, handcuff all the CEOs up, take all of their money away, give it to the employees so they're happy for a few days until their company goes under and then they're without any income. I mean, these liberals are just remarkable in their thought process. How can anybody with a brain between both of their ears not realize that this new tax reform bill is historic? It's monumental. But they still have this liberal agenda that they want to push. And for all our liberal friends out there, when is the day that you'll wake up and realize that these people aren't our friends? These people aren't here to look out for you. These people are here to make your life miserable and your families suffer worse than they ever have before. When will you get that? When will you understand? When is the day common sense is restored once again in this great country? When will that be? I surely know I'm waiting for it. Back in a minute. Hello, it's Bryce here from Liberty Root, and have you missed one of our past podcasts and just wondering exactly where to go to find them? Well, now it's easier than ever. Go to youtube.com and in the search bar type in Liberty Root Podcast and you can find all of our past episodes that we've done. Also there, you can find every episode of our Heroes in History series. So, that is youtube.com. In the search bar, you need to type in Liberty Root Podcast and you can listen until your little heart is content. Webster defines the word law as a binding custom or practice of a community, a rule of conduct or action prescribed or formally recognized as binding or enforced by a controlling authority. The whole body of such customs, practices, or rules, the courts exist to uphold, interpret, and to apply the law. And I had to read that because I thought I knew what law meant, but I thought maybe could be the possibility that I lived in an alternate reality where my perception of law is different than today's American reality of law, and it comes to find out that I was right all along. Law is what I thought it was. Here's something else that I had to go back and read, too, just to make sure that, you know, like I said, I wasn't living in an alternate universe, and this has to do with illegal immigration. Any alien who enters or attempts to enter the United States at any time or place other than designated by an immigration officer, or eludes examination or inspection by immigration officers, or attempts to enter or obtains entry into the United States by a willfully false or misleading representation, or the willful concealment of a material fact, shall, for the first commission of any such offense, be fined under Title 18 or imprisoned for 6 months or both, and for a subsequent commission of any such offense, be fined under Title 18 and imprisoned for 2 years or both, and also deported back to their home country. And any individual who knowingly enters into a marriage for the purpose of evading any provision of the immigration law shall be imprisoned for 5 years or fined, not more than $250,000 or both. And if you wanted to start a business, here's what they say about that. Any individual who knowingly establishes a commercial enterprise for the purpose of evading any provisions of the immigration laws shall be imprisoned for 5 years and in accordance with Title 18 or both. Remember, this is a federal law. It's not a law that state to state can just decide, but states tend to just decide stuff on their own. And then they come up with things called sanctuary cities. For those of you that don't know what a sanctuary city is, it's a city that limits its cooperation with the national government effort to enforce immigration law. So we have a law in this country that says nobody who isn't an American citizen can reside in this country unless they go through proper steps such as student visas or work visas or things like that. But now, thanks to sanctuary cities, regardless of what the federal law is, anybody and their brother can hop the fence, come into this country, find one of these sanctuary cities, and they can know that they can have refuge in one of these wonderful cities across their country. I mean, I asked the question, how is it okay that we as a country has a specific, detailed law, federal law, that these states can come in and say, man, we don't like that. We're gonna protect this illegal activity that's going on. And these states and cities who are sanctuary cities have done a pretty good job of being able to get away with this, which is fascinating to me. I don't understand how in the world they're getting away with this. They're pretty much harboring fugitives. So if you live in any of these cities who are sanctuary cities, which I think across the country there's 300 different zoned townships who will let these illegal aliens into their cities and towns. So pretty much, no matter where you live in the country, you're most likely within 100 miles if you're not actually in a city who is harboring fugitives, aka sanctuary cities. It's amazing how much the liberals put glitter and glitz on this whole thing to make it sound like they're protecting human beings, when all actuality, they're encouraging people to break the law. Don't you think that people across the border have heard of sanctuary cities? And don't you think that it's going to cause an influx of people flooding across the border to get to one of those cities? Because they know, hey, I'm committing a crime, but if I make it to one of these cities, I can find a nice homestead and not have to worry about being put on a bus and sent back to my country where I ultimately belong. Isn't it crazy that we live in a country where it's harder for me, being a United States citizen, to go to the post office and get a passport than it is for an illegal alien to find safekeep here in a city in the United States? Isn't that amazing? I mean, I have to go back and forth to the post office 7 times before I have all the correct documents to get a passport, me being an American citizen. But yet they can hop across the border. Hey, I'm here in Houston. Hey, I made it to the Windy City. Hey, I made it to the Bay Area, and I am safe now. And these cities who are for this illegal activity are putting such a strain on our local law enforcement. You are now more likely to get prosecuted under the law being a United States citizen than you are an illegal immigrant, because police are now not supposed to ask. They're not supposed to turn that information over to ICE agents to uphold the law that they swore an oath to uphold. That's the America we're living in right now. That's where we're at, folks. And where are the protests on this? How are people waking up every single day knowing that this kind of stuff is going on? If your car got stolen and taken right out of your driveway and you caught it on one of those surveillance cameras, would you just say, eh, it's okay? Or would you call the police and report a car theft? I know what I would do, and I think I know what you would do. You would call the police and report the car theft. But yet, you can have an illegal immigrant coming into this country, living in your community, taking your jobs, and you're complaining about unemployment, but not the reason unemployment's so high. Your tax money is going to pay for a lot of their welfare. Yeah, you heard me. A lot of these illegal immigrants are receiving welfare. They're not even citizens. And you're paying for them to be here. Where's the outrage? Where are the people? Where are the picket lines surrounding the courthouses in every one of these cities across the country? Where's it at? Why isn't this a bigger deal? And Trump, our president, who ran his whole campaign of building a wall in Mexico, was going to pay for it. You remember that being played on repeat on every major news network, on every cable station. I'm going to build a wall. It's going to be beautiful. And Mexico is most definitely going to pay for it. It's going to be big league. That was his campaign. Now what is he saying? we're going to allow 1.5 million illegals to possibly gain citizenship. What kind of message is that sending? But we still want a wall. Kick them out. Do what you said you were going to do. Yes, it's going to be impossible to get all of them out. But what kind of message are you now sending saying we're going to allow 1.5 million? And I know it can be a very sensitive subject when it comes to the children. But these same liberals who are touting these sanctuary cities and, oh, these dreamers, you know, they don't know any better. They're just children when they came over. Well, where are you on abortion? You don't care about the children then. So why do you care about the children now? And I know the children should not suffer because of their parents' decisions. But we are a land of laws and regulations. And I may turn some people off from the podcast here. I may lose all listeners and no one's ever going to come back to the Liberty Root podcast with what I'm about to say. But as you know, I speak from my heart and I speak from my mind. And differences make the world go round. So, but these children need to be deported. I'm not saying they can never have an opportunity in this land. The parents, yes, absolutely. But the children, get in line. Do what millions of other families are trying to do lawfully. Can you imagine those people? You know, the average wait to gain citizenship in the United States is 8.2 years. From sign up to getting your certificate of entry to becoming an American citizen. 8.2 years. Can you imagine how they feel? With these sanctuary cities? Their children aren't getting tuition paid. Their children aren't receiving welfare benefits. They're still in Mexico doing the right thing. Trying to get here legally. Can you imagine the outrage from these families who are abiding by our laws? And they know that they're sanctuary cities. And they're still in line waiting. Those are the people that I want in this country. I applaud that type of immigration. I want to surround myself with them. I want to call them my future American friends. I look forward to that day. But our system's so broken and so obviously fixable. Just enforce our laws. That's all you got to do. And Donald Trump, I honestly thought, I know Mexico would have never paid for this border wall. And now he's wanting us to pay for it. Which, that's fine. I'm willing to do that. But maintain a backbone. Maintain a backbone. Do what you say. Complete a mission. Just because pressure is on, whether that's Congress or that's future elections, make good on your promises. Because that's not only the right thing to do, that's the American thing to do. Back in a minute.
From Houston, Texas, this is the Liberty Root Podcast.
We watched the ball drop. We rang in the new year. This was going to be the year, 2018, where we stuck to our diets, where we worked hard at work to get that raise, where we were going to go out and start a business and finally become something in society. Well, that didn't last too long now, did it?
What do you make of this? A dangerous online trend. Kids swallowing laundry pods, putting it on YouTube for everyone to see. And tonight, ABC Action News has confirmed there are new cases showing up here in Florida. Good evening, everyone. I'm Paul Legrone.
And I'm Laura Harris. It's called the Tide Pod Challenge. Hard to believe that we're even watching videos like this. As ABC Action News reporter Ashley Yore explains, this joke has very serious health consequences.
It's all fun and games till somebody ends up in the ER
And those trips to the emergency room now more likely as teenagers join in the Tide Pod Challenge, biting Tide Pods and recording it, like in this video.
Poison Control first got calls about toddlers eating Tide Pods, seeing these bright colors, thinking they're candy. They added child lock zippers and warnings on the packaging, but that likely won't help with teens.
You're playing with fire. It could be something really dangerous. It might be seem fun and try to get views, but it's really, you are taking chances.
Poison Control in Tampa says they've gotten calls from people asking about eating the pods, saying they thought it would be funny.
It seems to have gone from people talking about wanting to do it to people actually doing it. So I was very surprised.
Nationally, just 12 days into 2018, there have been 37 teens misusing Tide Pods, and more than half of them intentionally ingesting Tide Pods. One of those cases right here in Florida. Three Florida teenagers ate Tide Pods in 2017 with scary side effects.
You can become rapidly unconscious. If you aspirate, get some into your lungs, either in the act of swallowing it or in the act of vomiting, which happens. Then you have more respiratory issues.
Procter & Gamble, parent company of Tide, says the pods should not be played with, whatever the circumstance, even if meant as a joke. If a teenager you know is thinking about participating in this challenge, please call Poison Control for help. That number is on our website. In Tampa, Ashley Yor, ABC Action News.
And welcome to 2018 America. I mean, I don't mean to make light of this, because there's serious health consequences that result in from putting one of these Tide Pods in your mouth. But can we laugh a little at the stupidity of these kids? I mean, I understand it's terrible. The baby's getting a hold of these because they think it looks like candy. I get that. But what's the excuse of these teenagers? I mean, is their public school that bad that they can't read the warning on the packaging? Or is public school that bad that at that age they don't know that Tide is some sort of laundry detergent or soap? I mean, is likes and social media credibility really worth staking your life for today? I didn't think it was, but apparently I'm wildly wrong. I remember when I was little and I would get in trouble and I was forced to put soap, a bar of soap in my mouth, and I hated it. I hated it. Now kids are volunteering to put soap in their own mouth and film it for millions to see. And after watching this video, it made me realize something else. It made me realize that this makes sense why there are so many Bernie Sanders supporters, because this young generation has no brain in their head. So they like crazy. They like stupid. I mean, my gosh. What in the world? In the videos, there's, I mean, these kids are gagging. Like, he's shoving a Tide Pod in his mouth. You got to watch this. I just pulled it from YouTube, but it's like the first link down there. This kid's putting in his mouth. He pops the Tide Pod with his teeth. It's oozing out of his mouth. And he ingests the whole thing. He didn't spit it out. He eats the whole thing. For the love of Pete. And you can say to me, oh, don't say that. These are just a few individuals who are being idiots. Well, how do you explain the millions of views? And how do you explain the millions of likes and reshares of these videos? I mean, what's the mindset of those people? So no, it's not just the people who are doing it. It's the people who are indulging and who are encouraging these people to continue with this stupidity. I'm sorry. I just had to bring this into the podcast somewhere, because I first heard about it and I couldn't believe it, because it originally started from a guy on YouTube, from what I'm told, and he had candy that looked like a Tide Pod, and he put it in his mouth, and he acted like he was eating a Tide Pod, and then it really wasn't a Tide Pod. He even said it wasn't a Tide Pod, and then now, birthed from that is the actual Tide Pod challenge. It keeps getting worse, folks. I'm scared to see what the next new challenge is. It's unbelievable. But yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. And we'll be back in just a jiffy. Growing cotton for profit in the late 1700s didn't come easy. As the demand grew, farmers struggled to keep up, not because they didn't have the land or the crop, but because of how tedious and lengthy a job it was to separate the seeds from the cotton. Perfectly good cotton crop would go to waste each yielding season because of this. The price for anything cotton was extremely pricey because of the supply being so limited. Everyday shirts we now find on clearance racks of stores all over the world would in those days have been tripled the cost in comparison to money of the time. But in the year 1792, this would all change, thanks to Eli Whitney and his cotton gin. And this is where this week's Heroes in History begins. Eli Whitney was born December 8, 1765 in Westboro, Massachusetts. He grew up on a farm, but instead of having ambitions towards farm work and the family business, Whitney had other ideas. He had a great affinity for machine work and technology. His mind was extremely advanced for his age. Being a young boy during the Revolutionary War, he started making nails from a device that he created. He then constructed devices that helped in making canes and hat pins for women. If he heard that someone needed something in the town, he saw an opportunity and quickly went to work. The locals knew that the boy had talent and that he would go on to do extraordinary things. In 1789, Eli Whitney started to attend Yale University and would graduate in 1792. Freshly out of college, Whitney took a job as a tutor in South Carolina. Then on one occasion, while traveling for work by boat, he met Catherine Green. Green was the widow of a decorated Revolutionary War general. She offered him a job reading law at Mulberry Grove Plantation, where she resided with her fiancé, who was also the manager of her estate. The Mulberry Grove Plantation wasn't just a great institute for education, it was also an abundant source of tobacco and cotton. In the warmer months, the demand for tobacco was much more than the demand for cotton, and it was the opposite in the colder months. With their tobacco yield, they never worried about turning in any kind of profit. Harvest of it was relatively easy, and they could quickly meet the demand. The cotton, however, was extremely difficult to harvest due to the exhausting time it took to extract the green seeds from the cotton. Once Whitney heard of this, and with a little loan money from Catherine Green, he went to work. His inventive mind was once again at work. He spent hours, days, and weeks constructing his new creation. After much trial and error, his new device was complete and operational. He named the device the cotton gin, gin being short for engine. Whitney demonstrated his new creation in front of his colleagues. He showed that by using the cotton gin, you could produce more cotton in an hour than what could be produced in a whole day. The cotton gin was patented in 1794. The goal was to produce enough so that all cotton farms throughout the South would have one. And as quick as he would construct the device, one would sell. He would travel all over to farms making the device so farmers could have higher cotton yields and consumers could buy cotton products at a reasonable price. Eli Whitney's inventive mind and strong knowledge in supply and demand launched America into a revolution like never before. Eli Whitney was way ahead of his time. It could very well be said that it was the best invention of the time, and it held that status until 1820, when the Industrial Revolution swept across America. The cotton gin was around 27 years before that boom, and 86 years before electricity was even invented. Today we may take for granted the clothing we have, or the garments we possess, but imagine living in a time such as that. How grateful would you have been? Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Liberty Root Podcast, where we're entering into, oh, you know, what's trending in the news this week. Our first story, surprise, surprise, comes out of California in the Santa Ana area. Check this one out. The headline is Grumpy Cat Wins $700,000 in federal case over identity. It still won't make her smile, but Grumpy Cat has won some scratch. A California jury gave the furry frown queen more than $700,000 this week in a federal lawsuit over the use of her identity. According to documents obtained by the Washington Post, owner Tabitha Burdenson of Morristown, Arizona, won the lawsuit first filed 3 years ago against the Grenade Beverage Company. She signed on for the cat to endorse a Grumpy Cat Grumpuccino, but the company subsequently used the cat's image to help sell other projects. Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Which an 8-person jury on Monday found was unauthorized. Ironically, while the world-famous feline Grumpy Cat and her valuable brand are most often invoked in a tongue-in-cheek fashion, defendants' despicable misconduct here actually given the Grumpy Cat and her owner something to be grumpy about, the complaint obtained by the Washington Post stated. David Jonellis, the attorney for Grumpy Cat Limited, told the Courthouse News the verdict was a complete victory. Grumpy Cat feels vindicated and feels the jury reached a just verdict, he said. Grumpy's cat, whose dwarfism and underbite gave... I can't even read this, seriously. Grumpy Cat, whose dwarfism and underbite gave her the permanent frown she's famous for, and she became an online phenomenon turned merchandising machine after Burdenson first posted pictures of her in 2012. And that was story number one. Story number two takes us to Italia, Italy. Italian police said on Monday that they had arrested two brothers suspected of robbing dozens of cash machines while wearing masks of President Donald Trump. The stunt evokes the 1991 film Point Break, starring Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze, in which a gang of surfers don masks of U.S. ex-presidents while robbing banks. But in a statement, police said the brothers had been inspired by a different film. According to the police statement, the two brothers were inspired by a movie called The Jackal to paint their white Mercedes black. In the 1997 film, the protagonist, played by Bruce Willis, changes the color of his car because police are in pursuit. The brothers are aged 26 and 30. They targeted cash machines near northern Italy city of Turin. In a closed-circuit footage of one of the robberies, one of the brothers in a Trump mask is seen covering the surveillance cameras in the lobby of a bank and planting an explosive in the cash dispenser. He then ducks around the corner after lighting the fuse just before the violent blast. And he said, "It's gonna be wonderful, it's gonna be awesome, it's gonna be bigly." No, I just made that up. He didn't really say that. And that is story number two. Story number three takes us to France, where they have solved all of our vending machine problems. Have you ever been there at the vending machine and you just really are craving some seafood? Well, a French company has got your fix. They created an ingenious vending machine that dispenses fresh oysters 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of the oysters are sold closed, so some shucking is still involved. Sorry for the inconvenience. Shellfish can also be purchased. And you can purchase the oysters in advance via a text message. Customers can also request special things to be vended out of the vending machine, such as add-ons like seaweed or fan-favorite spices. Customers can buy a dozen oysters for around $8, but one customer says if the company really wants to make money, they should consider investing in one of those champagne vending machines to sit alongside their oyster dispensary. And these are the top three what's trending in the news this week. Back in a minute.
This is the Liberty Root Podcast.
Hello, everybody. We reached that time in the podcast where we say goodbye. I want to thank you guys so much for being on with us this evening on this last day of January of this new year, 2018. We'd really appreciate it if you would find us on YouTube and click the subscribe button. Absolutely free, no charge to you. It just helps us out a whole bunch. Or you can go to our Facebook page and give us a like or follow us on Twitter. And you can also find the Liberty Root Podcast wherever podcasts are produced, such as iTunes and Podcast Addict. Well, that does it for me this evening. I look forward to seeing you guys next week. And as always, live life, restore liberty, and pursue happiness. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been a Liberty Root production.